seeing the whole picture. Let us pray. Lord, speak to us in the words that come from my lips and in the thoughts that they help us to form. Speak now, Lord, your servants are listening. Amen. Today we are presented with two very different readings. Both of them come from the New Testament, but seemingly that's about all that connects them. On the face of it, they don't seem to be related. Galatians is one of the most moving of all the Pauline epistles. And in this letter, Paul is fighting for his calling. And then in our gospel reading, we return to the Christmas story and the actions of the shepherds. Two readings dealing with completely different events and emotions, but I do believe that they are connected. Christmas Day is over. Jesus has been born in Bethlehem, and God's promised time has come. And like those shepherds, we are invited to come and to see for ourselves, and then to glorify and to praise God. The shepherds are ordinary folk. They work outdoors, looking after and protecting their sheep. And because of the kind of work that they did, they would have rarely attended the synagogue. But that doesn't prevent God from knowing all about them, or them knowing all about God. They saw the angels, not because they were good, but because God is good. And as we know, God comes to ordinary people in ordinary, everyday places. Shepherds on a hillside in the middle of the night, Mary and Joseph traveling on a lumpy, bumpy road and a smelly, dirty stable for a birth. All quite ordinary and quite familiar. These are places and things that we can all recognize. But it's only half the picture. Remember the good old days when you took photographs with your camera and then you handed the film in to be developed by the chemist? And then when you got your photographs back, you also got the negatives as well. A negative is not a black and white photograph, and neither is it a photograph with no colour. When you look at a negative, often it's hard to see what the picture actually is. The negative is very important, but it's only half the picture. It's only half the story. We need to see the print to see and understand the whole picture. We all know about the shepherds and the sheep, but it's the other part of the picture that makes it whole. We must also see the angels and God before everything makes sense. Our world is full of mystery, of wonder and presence. And our minds cannot wholly grasp the mystery of God, but our hearts can. And we need to understand that there are not two separate worlds, heaven and earth. They're one. God is with us. And it's only our own lack of vision that prevents us from seeing the whole picture. In our reading from Galatians, Paul is writing down his thoughts. And his argument is as much for himself as it is for the Galatians and for us. Paul believes that he has been called by God to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And if he is wrong in this belief, then his whole life has been wasted. But there's more to it than this. If Paul is wrong about his calling, then he has willfully misled all those Gentiles who have offered their lives to Christ through his preaching and through his teaching. His arguments are passionate, they're personal, and yes, sometimes they are very convoluted. He gives us passages of personal history interspersed with densely argued passages of theology, and these are not always easy to understand. And then we have these clearly argued passages full of wonder and beauty, like our reading today. It's perhaps hard for us to hear or to read this passage and feel the real pain and the joy that Paul clearly feels. This passage is all about sonship, all about what Paul has given up and why. Throughout his childhood and early adulthood, Paul would have believed that he was someone special. And this came through his relationship with God. And this special relationship had nothing to do with anything Paul had chosen to do with his life. It was his by right, because he had been born a Jew. He was one of God's chosen people. He was an inheritor of the promises made by God to Abraham and to David. His birthright made him one of the family. And initially, Paul found the teachings of Jesus threatening, and he wasn't alone in feeling like this. The gospel tells us that many of the religious leaders who met Jesus hated him, and they rejected all that he said and demonstrated about God. Paul's own rejection of Jesus led him to help in the violent persecution of Jesus' followers. Of course, all of this ends when Paul meets with the risen Lord on the road to Damascus. And at this point, Paul suddenly sees the whole picture for himself. When Paul accepts that his hostility towards Christians is a hostility aimed at God, he steps immediately out from his previous privileged insider's relationship with God. And when Paul speaks about our adoption as children of God, there's a moving dynamic going on here. Once Paul would have assumed that he was God's child and heir to God's promises because of who he was and where he was born. Now he accepts with gratitude that all he has, he owes to God. Yes, he says, we are all God's children, but only because God adopts us. God chooses us, and he makes us his own. We have no automatic right to call God Father. But God, as the Holy Spirit, comes to us and teaches us how to be his children. On our own, we don't even have the words to describe this relationship. Only God knows what this profound sonship is, and only he can teach us its vocabulary and its meaning. We need to know. We need to experience this relationship for ourselves. What Paul writes and preaches to the Galatians is what he has had to learn for himself. Yes, you can be a child of God, but only if you accept the invitation from God. If you believe that you are a child of God, or that you don't need any teaching about how to become such a child, or if you believe that God is bound to choose you as his child and reject others, then you are not seeing the whole picture. You haven't experienced God for yourself. Paul recognizes the huge shift that happens when God sends his only son. And this is something that Mary begins to see too. Mary watches the various people who present themselves to Jesus in that stable. Those people want to be part of his birth, and she listens to all that they have to say about the child, what they understand about what has happened. And most of them have truly amazing stories to tell of heavenly messengers and signs. And she must have listened to them and thought, but God's messenger came to me. His gift was a meaning, his meaning was a gift to me. But now it would seem that he's been telling half the world. Before, Mary believed that she was the favored one, the only one capable of helping, serving, and interpreting God. But now God is teaching her that she must share what she has or lose it. In other words, Mary sees the whole picture. And quietly treasuring these words and pondering them in her heart, Mary names her son. No family name for him, no names that make him part of her history or Joseph's. No, the name that the angel messenger gave, Jesus. In life, we must experience things for ourselves before we know them to be true. Until we have seen the whole picture for ourselves, we cannot categorically say that we know something. Paul gives us his experiences, and Mary has her own experiences of God too. But if we are to know God, then we must be like the shepherds who, after being told about Jesus, say, we must go ourselves and see this event that the Lord has made known to us. We might have been taught the faith. We might have been brought up in a Christian home. We might come to church every Sunday. It makes no difference. What matters is that we meet Christ for ourselves, that we put our trust in him, that we know the reality of his presence for ourselves. So don't let your faith rest on what others tell you about Christ. Turn to him, open your eyes to the whole picture. In the year that is to come, open your life to his love and let the gospel be true for you. Amen. And thanks be to God.